The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness, and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter, chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up, to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying, that they'd even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon for today is based on the text just read, Luke 24:13-35, for the third Sunday of Easter. The title of the sermon is, The Christ Had to Suffer and Die. One of the biggest differences between Christianity and Judaism is their different ideas of the Messiah. Jesus explained the Christian view of the Messiah in our gospel lesson today. The Jewish view of the Messiah was in the minds of the two disciples that Jesus talked to on that day on the road to Emmaus. What is the Jewish view of the Messiah? Belief in the eventual coming of a future Messiah is a fundamental part of the Jewish religion. In Jewish theology, the term Messiah came to refer to 1. A future Jewish king from the Davidic line, 2. Who would be anointed with holy anointing oil, 3. To be the political king of God's kingdom, and 4. Who would rule the Jewish people during the future Messianic age. In Judaism, the Messiah is not considered to be God, or a pre-existent divine son of God, or even a great religious leader. The Jewish Messiah is a great political leader that will be descended dynastically from King David. That is why he is referred to as Messiah ben David, which means Messiah son of David. The Messiah in Judaism is a great charismatic leader who knows and obeys the laws that are followed in Judaism. He is the one who will not, quote, judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. Moses Maimonides, the greatest Jewish theologian of the Middle Ages, described the identity of the Messiah in the following terms. I quote, If a king shall arise from among the house of David, studying Torah, and occupied with commandments like his father David, according to the written and oral Torah, and he will impel all of Israel to follow it, and to strengthen breaches in its observance, and will fight God's wars. This one is to be treated as if he were the anointed one. If he succeeds and builds the holy temple in its proper place and gathers the dispersed ones of Israel together, this is indeed the anointed one for certain, and he will mend the entire world, to worship the Lord together, as it is stated, "For then I shall turn for the nations a clear tongue, so that they will all proclaim the name of the Lord, and to worship him with a united resolve." Quoted from Zephaniah 3, verse 9. This is from Maimonides, the book called Mishnah Torah, the chapter Laws of Kings, chapter 11, verse 4. These were the types of ideas that were going through the minds of the two disciples in our gospel lesson this morning. They were leaving Jerusalem after the Feast of Passover and heading home to the village of Emmaus. On the way, they met a stranger, who was really Jesus, who prevented them from recognizing him. After talking about the recent news, the two men told the stranger in verse 21, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Like most of Jesus' disciples, the two men on the Emmaus Road believed that Jesus was going to bring about a new era of Jewish political power and cultural and economic glory. Jesus' response to them was a little bit testy. He said, "How foolish you are! How slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then Jesus recounted for them all the passages in the Old Testament that talked about the Christ, also known as the Messiah, the Anointed One, or the Son of David. He showed them that the Christ was going to suffer and be executed. He had not come to start a political revolution. He was, after all, the Prince of Peace. Which Bible verses did Jesus talk about? We don't know for sure, because there are so many Old Testament passages that speak about the Christ. But we can at least get a sampling of them this morning, just to get an idea. All these passages foretold of the suffering, defeat, and death of the Christ. First in history, would be the promise to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15. God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This promised seed would be wounded in his future battle with Satan. Next would be some of the Psalms, for example, Psalm 22. Listen to this one. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised the people. All those who see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' My tongue clings to my jaws. You brought me to the dust of death. They pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Again, that's Psalm 22. Can't you see Jesus there, Good Friday? Next would be the prophecies of Isaiah. For example, Isaiah 53. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." That's from Isaiah, chapter 53, parts of which are in Handel's Messiah. Then could have come the prophecies of Daniel, for example, Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus could not have missed the book of Jonah. For example, listen to this, Jonah chapter 2. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Jesus may have included the book of Zechariah. For example, Zechariah chapter 12. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. And then also Zechariah 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hands against the little ones. These are the most obvious examples of prophecies of the Messiah, that is, the Messiah who would suffer, be defeated, and die. I'm sure that Jesus found many less obvious passages and said, now look, didn't you know that these were about the Messiah too? What does all this mean? This story reminds us once again that the two testaments form one unit. The Old Testament is a preparation for and a prophecy of the New. The Old Testament writings are not the Jewish scriptures, if you mean by that that the Jews of the day have a special claim to them. These writings are really the scriptures that belong to the Christ. They foretell him, and thus they belong to him and to his church. When you read the Old Testament, you must always look for the Christ, who is there almost on every page. Second, this story tells us the chief work of Christ was not to rise again, but to suffer, be defeated, and die for your salvation. His suffering and death, which paid for the sins of all mankind, was more important than any political regime or dynasty that he might have established. Because through Jesus' suffering and death, the way to eternal life was opened for all people of the world. These were the things that angels wanted to see. These were the things that Moses and Elijah discussed with Jesus at the Transfiguration, and of which he reminded his disciples once again on that day's walk to Emmaus. May the glory of our Lord's resurrection always point you to the cross and your salvation through Jesus' suffering and death. In his name, Amen.